are Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Friday, July 23rd. Your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that has to say goodbye to Shane Gostisbehere. He is no longer a Philadelphia Flyer.
I'm so sad. I mean, I understand, but I am sad.
Yeah, like we've been expecting this, but it still is sad. So if you want to join in on the misery of losing Shane, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. We don't just talk about Gostisbehere. We talk about the Flyers and the fandoms and keep up to date on all the NHL news. So make sure you follow us. And if you don't have Twitter, you can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. We are your hosts. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Rachel.
And today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. So, like I said, today we are going to talk about the Gostisbehere trade, how it makes sense for the Flyers, and then, the trade happened, so the freeze is over, and we're going to talk about some notable moves in the NHL, and wrap up with our gritty thing of the week. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are currently listening, so subscribe to get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. The trade freeze was over at 1 p.m. yesterday, and probably around like 1:50 or 2 o'clock, it came out that the Flyers traded defenseman Shane Gostisbehere, a second-round pick in 2022, and a seventh-round pick in 2022 to the Arizona Coyotes. Now, there was a little bit of confusion because it seemed like that it was the Flyers trading defenseman Shane Gostisbehere for a second-round and a seventh-round pick in 2022. But no, they traded Gostisbehere, and they needed to add the picks to sweeten the deal for the Coyotes. So before we get into Chuck's, he said to the media after this trade was done, give me your thoughts, Rachel.
Well, the confusion was definitely a little bit upsetting just because you're like, oh, we got a return on him. That's nice. But no, we did not. So it was really a trade for $4.5 million of cap space for the next 2 years, which is not nothing. It's certainly a useful tool for the Flyers. But at the same time, you know, I think it just makes the defense situation for the Flyers a little bit tighter in terms of what they have to do. I think it makes it more important to go out and get a second pairing defenseman. I think that, you know, Gostisbehere's drafted by the team, been around for 7 years, had some ups and downs, but really I felt like had turned it around a little bit this past season. And we talked about that, you know, kind of at the end of the season with our player recaps. And so it felt like if he was going to stick around, he would absolutely be able to contribute. And so it is bittersweet to see him go just because this is something that's been hovering over him for a number of years. And now that it's happened, it like almost doesn't feel real, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And I don't know, like you said, I felt like this past season, Gostisbehere definitely turned his game around. And I thought that Shane would get moved, but I didn't think that he would get moved just for salary. I didn't expect to have to kind of sweeten the deal for Gostisbehere. Clearly I'm biased. I think that Gostisbehere is a good player. I think that he is definitely a good addition to any team that he plays on. So it was just weird that we would have to give up some picks next season to move him. I would have thought if we were giving picks to move a player, it would be JVR or Voracek. So that was a little bit disheartening to see that we had to move picks just to get Gostisbehere moved for cap relief. But I think Chuck's, explaining it to the media gave us a little bit more context as to, you know, what teams wanted to take Shane Gostisbehere. I don't know. I feel like we waited too long to trade him, and then, you know, you don't get the best deal that you could have. But, regardless, I love Gostisbehere. I'm going to be rooting for him. It sucks that it's the Coyotes because there's always something going on, whether it's in the front office, ownership, and the team just never seems to continuously be in the playoffs. So I feel bad for Shane, but I'm wishing him all the best in playing for that team.
Yeah, I'm going to miss the puppers too. Although we always have them on Instagram, so it'll be okay.
Just brutal. Like, people were tweeting out pictures, like older pictures of them, and I was just like, my heart. I can't believe we're losing all five of them, including Gina, because she gives us the content. So,
yeah,
it's a sad day for sure. But like I said, Chuck met with the media, gave a little bit more context. So he said that acknowledging the development and the timeline of Cam York kind of helped solidify that Gossip Bear was more expendable this offseason. And he also notes that Igor Zamula is closing in on an NHL readiness. So between Zamula and York, the minutes that Gossip Bear was taking up would be minutes that could be used for them in their development in the NHL, which I definitely understand that because it doesn't seem like the coaching staff was going to give Shane any top pairing or second pairing minutes. It seemed like they were going to try to do that third pairing shelter power play time, which I do agree would be ideal for either York or Zamula if they are able to make that jump next season.
Yeah, I think so too. And we've talked about it and kind of watching Cam York. I think he has great potential to lead one of the power play units out there. And, you know, they've been talking about changing the system that they were going to use. And Cam York is a little bit more ideal than Gostis Bear, actually, in terms of positioning and, you know, dishing off passes as opposed to bombs from the point. So I think that there is a replacement for what Ghost does.
Yeah. And I do kind of appreciate with Chuck Fletcher. I mean, last season he went in believing in the kids that they could fill holes needed and got burned by that. But he still, you know, maybe not to the same extent of how many kids can fill the holes in the Flyers lineup, but he's still keeping up spot for either one of York or Zamula to make that jump. And I do appreciate that. And like I said, I wasn't excited about giving up second and seventh round pick to move Shane Gostisbehere, but Fletcher said that, you know, he reached out to all 31 teams and one team asked for Cam York to take on Ghost, whereas another team asked for the 13th overall pick to take Gostisbehere. And that just wasn't something that Chuck was, you know, open to doing. He said that the Flyers are, you know, all in on drafting the 13th overall pick, but he will say that he's open to using that 13th overall pick to add a player that can help them right now. And he is more active to listening on possibly trading that 13th overall pick this year than previous years if something makes sense via trade. But he's not just going to move it just to move out cap space, which I definitely can appreciate.
Yeah, you know, he wants to use the full value of that pick and not devalue it. And you're right. I think that that's the right approach to take, that there's going to be a pretty good prospect available at that pick. And so in order to give that up, like, you have to get something in return that is going to help the team right now and not just be a sweetener.
Yeah. And, you know, this kind of reminds me of the last time when we were talking about Seth Jones and how it seems like the Flyers are taking a step, took a step back from him just because they weren't going to make any rash moves that's not going to help long term. And this is just another example of that. I feel like Chuck is definitely confident in the moves that the Flyers can make. And he's not just, you know, being aggressive to be aggressive. The moves that he's making are well thought out, and he's not going to get as fleeced as maybe we thought he might. So Chuck continued to say that, you know, with moving out Gostisbehere, Rachel, you talked about how it was even more important for them to go out and get that second defenseman, preferably a right-handed defenseman. And Chuck confirmed that they are in the market for a right-handed defenseman and says that there are options internally, but right now a right shot would be great. Internally, he was said that he's open to switching Sanheim to the right, but obviously would prefer getting a defenseman who is used to playing on the right side and is right-handed. He also noted that That's in limited supply. Adam Larson was a possibility, but he signed in Seattle. And we've talked about David Savard. He's still ticketed as a UFA. Fletcher could be looking at guys like Travis Hamonic or Zach Bogosian. I didn't know if any like Hamonic or Bogosian interest you, or do you see a fit there with the Flyers?
Yeah, I don't love either one of them, to be honest. I mean, I'm definitely more familiar with Hamonic, and I just don't know how he would balance out Sanheim, to be honest. I'd have to like look into it a little bit more, but I don't love either of those two options.
Yeah, me either. I was hoping for something a little bit better. I mean, David Savard is definitely at the top of my list, but I really had no interest in Zach Bogosian. I know that he is a veteran and has won a cup, and just not what I think the Flyers need. Because I'm thinking, of course, fitting in on their second pair, not a bottom pairing or a seventh defenseman. But Fletcher continued to say that that the Flyers are still going to be active. And, you know, he said, I do expect that we'll have a better team at this time next Wednesday. And that's exciting. Of course, Wednesday is the first day of free agency. And Fletcher said that he'd like to look at other opportunities on D, knows there's still some holes up front. And of course, they're in need of another goalie, believes that another piece or two are attainable. So I thought that was a really interesting part because, I mean, we've talked about what is likely the next step, the next move that he takes. And it's exciting to know that Fletcher is excited to see and knows that this team is going to change. And I think that moving Gus Spare to create that flexibility just, again, reinforces that.
Yeah, well, now we have just shy of $14 million in the cap for this year to sign Carter Hart to a contract, get a backup goaltender, sign Travis Sanheim to a contract, get another defenseman and another forward. That's still a pretty tall order. And not a lot of money to do all that. So, you know, I certainly hope that he has the math worked out on what he wants to spend on all of those things and what other moves are going to be possible in order to make that happen. You know, this first day back after the unfreezing of trades was much slower than I thought. So it seems like, you know, people may be asking a lot, and the negotiations are going to take a while. So between this and, you know, this weekend's draft and the start of free agency, I bet there's going to be a lot of time spent on the phone.
Yeah, I think so too. And I agree with you that it seems like teams are asking for a lot just because, I mean, to move Shane Gostisbehere, why would we add Cam York into that? Like, I just, like, that was just crazy that a team would request that. But I mean, I do agree with you. I think that it might take some time, but the more Chuck does that, the more confidence I have in him. So, well, I definitely feel like there's going to be one or two more moves that are definitely in our favor that Flyers fans are going to like.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm wondering what this Carter Hart deal is going to look like and how it's going to affect all this. But I'm assuming it's going to be a bridge deal of some sort just because of the step back that Carter Hart took this past year, that Hart's going to want an opportunity to renegotiate a higher salary if he gets, you know, his mojo back. So I'm guessing a 2 to 3 year deal for him. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out.
We'll definitely have to. But in yesterday's episode, we talked about the Kraken and some players that they drafted. They drafted a former Flyer, Tyler Pitlick, and they traded him yesterday. He was traded to the Flames for a 2022 fourth round pick. He was someone that, you know, we wouldn't have mind seeing come back to the Flyers. I did see, and this definitely could just be rumors, I did see that the Flyers were definitely trying to get him back, but he goes to the Flames. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I think it would have been interesting to get him back, and certainly I think that role, you know, we've talked about this, that Nick Abe Kubel has been sort of playing that role, but not as well as Tyler Pitlick this past year. And the fact that the Flyers added NAK onto the protection list made me believe that, you know, obviously it's for other reasons in terms of trying to steer Seattle in a certain direction, but, you know, that just said to me that they were willing to stick with him as the guy that does those things, you know, the tenacious forechecker that can help you on special teams as well. And so, and Tyler Pitlick, you know, was really good in that role, and I think the Flames got him for a really good deal. So, you know, I don't know. I think if things had played out differently with the expansion draft, it would have been more of a possibility.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. Some other moves. Talk about getting fleeced. The Carolina Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. They traded Alex Nedeljkovic. So the Detroit Red Wings acquired Nedeljkovic from the Hurricanes in exchange for goaltender Jonathan Bernier and Vegas's third round pick, which was which is 94th overall in the 2021 entry draft. It seems like what people are saying as to why the Canes did this is they just couldn't come to an agreement with the goaltender and decided that training him would be their best bet. Now, I haven't watched a lot of him, but a lot of people said that he could have been the up-and-coming goaltender for the Canes. So it's very surprising that they couldn't find it. They couldn't get a deal done.
Yeah, you know, and we saw him quite a bit a couple of years ago in the AHL when the Charlotte team won the championship in the league. He was on that team, and he's a real good goaltender. And I think that, you know, Jonathan Bernier, I mean, the Canes have had goaltending woes for a while, and not that they had bad goaltenders, they just couldn't get like a guy to stay healthy and stick and play consistently. And they've just kind of had mediocre goaltending for a little while now, you know, with Mrazek always getting hurt. We are familiar with that. And it just makes no sense to me that if you have a young up-and-coming guy and that, you know, $3.5 million is not that much more than $3 million. Like, it just seems like it was such a doable deal. And yet, Steve Yzerman, like, worked his little Expelliarmus or whatever magic spell and managed to make an incredible deal.
I love his response. I think someone tweeted it out saying, like, he said, "You're going to have to ask the Hurricanes why they felt comfortable making this deal," because that's how much it truly seems like the Hurricanes got fleeced for Alex. I'm still in shock. Another move that came out yesterday was that Barkley Gaudreau signed with the Rangers. It was a 6-year deal for $21.85 million with an AAV of 3.642 per year. That is a huge, that's a long time. That's a very big deal for Barkley.
That term is a little scary if I'm a Rangers fan.
Yeah, especially with all the depth and all the prospects the Rangers have, that's a little concerning. But hey, Barkley Gaudreau was fantastic for Tampa. So man, you hate to see the Rangers get even more good players. But one thing I don't hate to see Rangel is, you know, of course, Built Bars. They are my favorite protein bar. I literally have one every day. They're just addicting. And that's because they taste like a candy bar, but they're good for you. And there are so many different flavors, so I never get bored. I love having like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, but I've always kept apple almond crisp in my cupboard because they are my favorite go-to.
Yeah, you have to get a variety pack when you're ordering because there's so many good flavors. But the best part is that they're healthy. Built Bar is great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while you're having that delicious treat. And they're an amazing combination of being low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. If you're on a special diet like keto, these will fit right in.
So go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. All right, so that is all of the notable NHL and Flyers news at the time of recording. Hopefully nothing crazy happens between now and the time everyone's listening to this, unless there's like a really good Flyers deal. We will accept that. But it's Friday, so we're going to, of course, jump into our gritty thing of the week. And there was a ton of gritty content. I mean, Gritty went camping and we got all the content. So we are definitely thankful for that. I love the one tweet that's just like Gritty versus the Wild and like not Minnesota. It's literally Gritty versus nature. So one of the first things Gritty tweeted out on Twitter was survival of the grittiest, and it's Gritty like looking around where to put his tent. Of course, all dressed in Flyers, like as if he was in the arena, and puts together the tent. Also, the two blow-up gritties.
Yes, I was going to say.
So like, good, right?
Is that to scare away the bears? I don't know.
I mean, I definitely feel like it was, because it scared me a little bit. Like, they're almost the same size. It's a huge blow-up gritty. Not doll, but blow-up thing. The next one is Gritty started the fire. And this is a video of literally Gritty starting a campfire. Anytime Gritty is around fire, I just have to give kudos to everyone involved, because that is scary. That is scary. And I love the dancing after Gritty started the fire.
Well, and of course the caption with the references to the "We didn't start the fire" lyrics.
See, I didn't get that. So I'm glad you were here to to give me that.
I am here for your old Billy Joel takes any day.
And then next was, of course, campfire song, and just pictures of Gritty with his campfire at night. You know, I have to say, like, the Flyers, I'm not the biggest fan of orange. Like, it wouldn't have been my go-to, but it does pop in at night, and the pictures look really good with all the orange, like the tent, the Gritty blow-up, Gritty itself, the fire, and the little Wilson volleyball.
Yes.
I love that cameo. Yeah. Next is Goodnight Nature, and it's a picture of Gritty as if it was like a selfie saying goodnight. Of course, the Wilson volleyball is next to Gritty. And then we thought it would be over, right? Like, Gritty's gone to bed. No, of course not. Gritty tweets out a thread of, there's something outside of my tent. And I love that. I mean, obviously the Flyers are doing this for extra content, but I feel like people now, like if they're going camping, this is literally what they would do. They would like tweet out everything, like their whole experience going camping and like hearing something else outside their tent, not like figuring out what it is and just like going back to bed. Like, no, they're tweeting it out, because that's just like the world we live in now. I just thought that was so funny.
Yeah, it's the documentation is next level.
It starts off as like just a thread of tweets and then a video, please send help. And it's just, like, Gritty in the dark. And that's terrifying. I'm not going to lie. The eyes really do freak me out. And then next is I Survived One Night in Nature. And of course, Gritty is almost basically naked, has like triangle loincloth, keeping the hockey helmet on because, you know, safety first.
Or as I like to say, safety third.
There you go. And then the next day, Gritty goes exploring and gets lost, which makes a lot of sense. And then wrapping up, Gritty, of course, tries fishing, which just doesn't work out. No surprise. And then last, thanks for the memes, nature. Gritty writes a thank you note and like things I learned in the wilderness. Poison ivy is not a myth. Ticks love my fur. Don't drink the water. Sleeping on the ground is overrated. Nature is more beautiful in person. No dress code in the wild. Camping is not for me. And lastly, I miss Philly. Which, yeah, I would have to say, I don't disagree with anything Gritty said.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, did Gritty conquer the woods, or did the woods conquer Gritty?
Looking at this thread, I would have to say the woods conquered Gritty. I mean, we would only know if Gritty ever goes camping again. Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We'll be back again on Monday with, of course, some draft recap, anything that happened over the weekend, and, of course, our nemesis of the week. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you, so send in your questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers or LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Danielle. You can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam.
Thanks again for listening and have a great weekend. Betting on the Flyers doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.